Ahimsa. 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 Inside my head, oh, inside my head, inside my head, a war rages on. This world is mad, oh, this world is mad, this world is mad. Oh, but I still sing a song. You know that I'm still singing a song, because I can feel love coming through the air in the night, and I hear it calling me. I hear love calling me. I'm wondering.
I am sad.
Oh, I'm wondering.
I am sad.
I'm wondering. Where is the rainbow? Where is that pot of gold after the storms that weathered and the stories I've been told? I'm wondering.
I am sad.
Oh, I'm wondering.
I am sad.
I'm wondering.
I am
where
sad.
Is the rainbow? Where is that pot of gold after the storms that weathered and the stories that I've been told?
I am sad.
Told. Inside my heart, oh, inside my heart, inside my heart. Well, I've got hope and despair, and they're dancing together. I can feel love coming through the air in the night, and I hear it calling me. I hear love calling me. I'm wondering. Where is that pot of gold? The storms I weather and the stories I've been told. Now, now, I'm wondering.
I am sad.
Hey, I'm wondering.
I am sad.
I'm wondering.
I am sad.
Where is the rainbow? Where is that pot of gold? The storms I weather and the stories I've been told.
Just listen to Ahimsa by Alicia Brilla. Hey folks, it's your girl Amorowa, and you are listening to Radio Perg on CFRU 93.3 FM. Just a couple of announcements before we get started. So the Two Rivers Festival for 2022 is in full swing. It's a bunch of events happening throughout May and June. We just had our garlic mustard pull on Tuesday. this week, and it was so much fun. Thank you so much for everyone who came out. And I just want to plug that we are having a watershed cleanup happening Wednesday, May 25th from 12:30 to 2 p.m. We're going to be meeting up at the Covered Bridge near the Boathouse, and you can RSVP on the Two Rivers Festival website. When you come, you can learn about how waste and litter gets into our watersheds and what can be done to combat the issue. This river cleanup is organized by Take Two Watershed Cleanup Project in collaboration with us, OPERG. Take Two offers a solution to the waste problem by encouraging individuals to take small actions to create big change, keeping our trails and watersheds clean. Take Two addresses both the symptoms and sources of pollution by cleaning up waste, engaging people to stop littering, and holding the companies creating polluting waste accountable. I hope to see you there. Rain or shine, dress appropriately, and get ready to pick up some trash. And I'm super excited to announce that we've got a workshop coming up on May 30th from 3 to 6 p.m. with Demetria Jackson, who's a really dope yoga instructor and liberation educator. It's going to be called Beyond Burnout. So it's a workshop that she does surrounding activism and burnout. And I know it's been a really hard time with the pandemic, and folks are just feeling a little tired and not exactly sure where to go next or how to kind of keep moving forward with this work. So I got together with her to kind of talk about a potential workshop. And some of the things that we'll be discussing will be, how do we stay present and effective in the face of suffering and injustice? How do we sustain our vision for change and not get overwhelmed by the busyness of our everyday lives? How do we stay empowered and on purpose when there's so much to get done? Like, how do we build systems of care and support in our communities and organizations? And finally, we're going to be combining the tools of mindfulness, meditation, self-inquiry, social justice education, and compassionate group discussion, where participants will learn practical tools for creating impact without burning out. So I think it's a really important skill for us organizers and change makers to kind of have and develop in our back pocket. As the weather gets warmer, I know a lot more actions and a lot more activities are going to be happening. So I want us to do it in such a mindful way that we can continue this work in a sustainable manner, rather than just going gung-ho and then getting burnt out and having to take a break. So all are so welcome. I'm going to have a registration link in our Instagram and on our Facebook. It'll just be like a fun little Zoom session. So I hope you join us. The Guelph Tool Library is excited to be working with Habitat for Humanity Guelph Wellington to bring back Repurpose Fest, a free community recycling festival. Repurpose Fest brings together a variety of community initiatives that help repair, rehome, reuse, and recycle household goods. This one-day event will take place on Saturday, May 28th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 104 Dawson Road. A full list of accepted items is available on their website. Hope to see you there.
We are also hiring for the summer. We are looking for someone to fill our People's History Project researcher position as part of Canada's Summer Jobs. It's an 8-week job position from July to August 2022 for 35 hours a week. To see the full job description, you can visit our website, www.opergguelph.org. If you're interested in applying, please send your cover letter, CV, and a short statement on oppression and power to us at vpce@opergguelph.org and organizational@opergguelph.org. Hope you apply. Hey everybody. So for today's show, I got to interview Dee from the BIPOC Outdoor Gear Library, and it was such a fun interview. For those that don't know, the BIPOC Outdoor Gear Library is a community-based lending library focused on providing access to outdoor equipment for the BIPOC, that's Black, Indigenous, and People of Color, community of so-called Guelph, and the surrounding areas. Through collaboration with partners, they are working to increase representation of BIPOC peoples engaging in outdoor recreation by reducing barriers to access, creating community, and providing resources and education. Here it is. So hey folks, it's your girl Amorwa, and you are listening to Radio Perg on CFRU 93.3 FM. I'm here today with an incredible person, Dee from the BIPOC Outdoor Gear Library. Hey Dee, how's it going?
Hey Amorwa, How you doing? I'm good. I'm loving the weather that we just had this past weekend, but you know, we're into rain, but spring is here, summer's here, and that means I'm outside as much as possible.
That's so real. I spent my entire weekend outdoors and I couldn't have been happier. I was like, oh, the sun, the serotonin, the dopamine.
It does so much for your mental health, right? And we need to get outside. We've had too long a winter, I think.
Yeah, for real, for real. All right. So I start the same way with everyone. Tell me about yourself. Who are you?
Who am I, or who is my organization? Or a little bit about who am I? Well, my name is Dion Daly, D for short. Most folks call me that. She, her pronouns. I am a 30-something year old who lives here in Guelph. I'm an active outdoors woman. I've been into kind of all things outdoors for as long as I can remember. Was introduced to it at a very young age by my mother mainly. And also just a community member who just wants to kind of get involved within the Guelph community, especially the kind of burgeoning BIPOC community here. So that's a little bit about who I am.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
And now I want to know about the library. Now,
okay. the library. So BIPOC Outdoor Gear Library is the organization that I kind of initiated and have brought a few folks on board to help me get off the ground and become something a little bit more official. The idea behind it, or sort of the inspiration behind it, as I said, I've done quite a lot of outdoor activities growing up. And I think I was privileged, I know I was privileged in having access to that just because I grew up with a white mother, actually. And she got us out camping and hiking and paddling at a very early age. But my brother and I were some of the only kids out there who looked like us. So while we were very confident and comfortable doing it, we weren't so comfortable when it came to kind of, you know, other folks maybe making comments or wondering why we were there or what our existence was in that space. And that continued on as I grew older and started working at Algonquin Park as well, working at the Portage there, store there, where we would lend out equipment and camping gear and canoes and kayaks and all sorts of stuff there. So, you know, I've continued camping, continued hiking, doing all of that stuff. But every time I have a conversation with a new person that I meet who might not have had that same level of access, they always, you know, there's so many questions around, I wish I could. I don't know, though, what I need or what to do or where to start. I don't have anyone in my, you know, immediate community who could offer me either the gear or the skills or the knowledge base to kind of help me get into that sort of thing. And so while the desire is there, and I keep hearing it, there's a lot of barriers that people face. And so the BIPOC Outdoor Gear Library was created, this little brain baby was created to help address that. And we're looking to kind of offer people the opportunity to lend out the gear that they might have otherwise been, you know, that some folks have friends or neighbors or, you know, community members that have it available to them so that they could try it for the first time, or, you know, continue to see whether this is something that they really enjoy enough to invest in it themselves. But we're also looking to kind of create community to get more people outside and in nature, because we just talked about it. There's so many benefits to being in nature, and more Black joy. That's what we need.
Yeah, that's so real. Like, I really resonate with the idea of people wanting to have like the opportunity to be in the outdoors, but just not having the accessibility for it. And like, I'm one of those people. So like, for me, that access and reclamation of outdoor space is like really been on my mind, especially now that it's warmer out. But just because like, this is something that I've never thought would be able to like actually happen, you know, like I never thought that I can just go to a place and maybe take out a tent and return it. I always thought of camping and like outdoor activities as something that you have to kind of invest in.
It's and a big expense.
It's huge. And it's like, you huge. Can't just buy like crappy equipment and then afford to replace it every year. And like, also I live in like, I love my house, but I don't always have the storage opportunities either, you know? So like, I think it's really, really cool that you're providing that opportunity for folks. And one thing that I really appreciate too is that you're sharing these experiences on your social media. So on your Instagram, you have folks that have profiles sharing their stories and experiences with the outdoors. What has that been like for you, like hearing those experiences?
Oh gosh, really emotional. I actually, when I first started this, I put out like a Google survey just to kind of ask those questions around what does this mean to you? And that was my first opportunity to hear directly from folks why they think a resource like this needs to exist, or what they kind of were surprised by in terms of like, oh, right, this is something that I didn't know I needed, but definitely need. There were so many conversations of, I want an exclusive space that allows me to kind of learn something new without feeling maybe judged, or like I can't ask those types of questions because, mm-hmm. you know, I've had conversations with people saying, you know, bird watching is super intimidating. Camping is super intimidating. And they're not wrong. These are intimidating spaces because people have sort of created recreation around, you know, these types of activities naturally. But also it feels like a really kind of scary space to enter into. Yeah. And so the idea of creating a safe space for that felt like it was really important. And that's what keeps coming up in what people are sharing with us on our social media in terms of why this is an important resource to them, is that kind of idea of like, oh good, I get to explore this side of me that maybe I wasn't encouraged to explore before. And that is sort of being a nature lover and wanting to learn about all things kind of nature and outdoors and engaging in these types of activities, but just never had the opportunity to, for so many reasons. And so, yeah, it's been really, really emotional to kind of have people talk about their stories or even their parents' stories. A lot of like immigrant, you know, children of immigrants who are popping in and saying, you know what, there's actually like a historic reason why I was never introduced to a lot of this stuff. Facts. And here's why.
Yeah.
Facts. Yeah.
Yeah. I can definitely say that was a big part of it for me. Like anytime camping or the idea of like being in the outdoor spaces came up, my immigrant parents, they're like, we are from Africa. We come from the village. Camping is just our lifestyle. Why did I come to this country to be in the outdoors again? Like,
right.
I literally came here for
it. That is a very common sentiment I've been hearing. Yeah. But that's not to say that you or other people of your generation don't have that kind of interest and intrigue still, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And like another thing that I had been reflecting on too, and like I didn't include it in the profile that I had mentioned because it would have been like paragraphs long, but so listeners, for those who don't know about me, I actually come from Saskatchewan, and growing up there in my elementary school, we actually had a pretty decent like outdoor education program. So like we did like canoeing, we went cross-country skiing, we I think I did fishing for a little bit, and there was like a camping situation.
Nice.
But one thing that also like really scared me witless about doing outdoor activities was the idea of not having size inclusive equipment. Mm-hmm. And being a fat Black woman trying to like navigate that, it's very scary. And it's very like, I always felt like very judged that like getting into a canoe and just like looking around me and everyone just paddling and like enjoying themselves, and I'm so scared of the canoe sinking.
Yeah, and me having to like figure that out.
Yeah.
I completely understand why you'd be scared of that experience, kind of adding in that extra layer of intimidation, Amara, because it's true of so many people. And this is why, you know, as part of sort of our mandate, there's nothing here that's only about kind of getting BIPOC outdoors, but also looking at all the intersections of how people show up too within this community. We are all of different sizes. We're all of different sort of backgrounds, and we're coming from different areas. We are all of different, orientations as well. And we should all be able to show up to these spaces and feel like we are being supported and we're giving the access that's needed to make that an enjoyable experience. And so we've also gotten donations to our library because we've been acting on donations for the most part until this point. A lot of our future fundraising goals will be to sort of fill in the blanks. And we'd like to be able to fill in the blanks also in terms of offering those different kind of gear or equipment for different size bodies, different abilities as well. We even got a donation recently of, they called it a fat yak. So a kayak that, you know, just is built in a way that is going to kind of allow for larger bodies, that makes sure that that stability concern that you might've had is completely erased so that you can show up and be joyful in nature and not have to worry about that, because that's really, really important. And it certainly would introduce a whole other barrier for a lot of folks.
Yeah. A fat yak, like
fat yak, isn't that great?
That's the best name I've ever heard.
Yeah, I know. I loved it, and I was like, "Yeah, we are calling this a fat yak." Absolutely.
No, that's so awesome because yeah, that is a big thing. Like, I love swimming, and like, I know that if my canoe were to tip, I'd be just fine. But it's like, yeah.
Not everyone is though.
That's so real. But like, yeah, I've always wanted to like try using equipment on the water and just like kind of like get that like interesting workout. Oh man, no, I'm excited. I will be taking that out one of these days.
That's sure. Great. It's here for you.
So another thing that I wanted to touch on too is like, being in the outdoors, it's not just about access and reclamation, right? But it's also about one of joy. Do you want to speak more to that in what that like looks like for you and what you're hoping it looks like for others?
It's been a focus for us in terms of how we are kind of showing up on our social media, is that there's a lot of things that are happening in the world right now that are really affecting our community at large. You know, one example being even what happened this past weekend in Buffalo. And it really shines a light on how we need to continue to find ways of existing, merely existing, whether that be in urban centers or in kind of more natural centers as well, or situations. So access, in order for us to kind of show up and be in these spaces, absolutely is sort of step number one. But showing that we're out here and enjoying ourselves and really kind of being exactly who we are, right? As authentically as we can be. We're not just sort of fitting into a mold of what has been created for this is what camping looks like, but we're just sort of being authentically ourselves and also doing this activity. That really is really important to us in how we are kind of sharing stories of folks in nature. And it helps with that representation story too, of like, it's not just for white people, it's for everyone. And as much as we can say, oh, it's nature, it's for everyone, you know, it seems almost like simple when you say it like that, the reality is it isn't for everyone, or it hasn't been traditionally. And we really would like to be able to change the narrative around that and also create a kind of cultural shift for everyone who currently is enjoying nature activities.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That the idea that it's just kind of like a white thing has like really like shaped the narrative of like a gatekeeping activity. You know what I mean? And so like, I really enjoy the idea that we can kind of come together and like come back to it. And like, part of like my understanding and like reflections on like even land acknowledgements and being able to kind of just be in nature and enjoying it has been on the forefront of my mind for a really long time. And just it's so important that we like really understand and like recognize that the outdoors isn't just for a specific like kind of person, it's for everybody, you know. So with that being said, I also want to get into like the nitty gritties of like the organization. How did you like meet your fellow directors, and tell me more about like some of the parts of like what went into like putting together this library?
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. So my fellow directors, which is a growing team, I will say, we're kind of consistently looking for people to round us out, but who've joined us so far, we have Caroline, who her and I worked in Algonquin Park together, actually, many moons ago. We actually just posted a picture of us from, I think it was 16 or 17 years ago when we first met working in the heart of Algonquin Park. Yeah.
That's
little
awesome.
Babies. Yeah. And her and I were the representation when it came to working at the Portage store in Algonquin Park at the time. And we normalized it obviously for ourselves and our peers, but it, you know, it was something you couldn't ignore, is that we were one of the only two folks who looked like us in this space.
Sidebar. I do have to ask. So Algonquin Park, did you guys ever experience like folks kind of like negating your experience as like outdoorsy folks and like just not taking you seriously or anything like that?
All the time. All the time. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. So what was great about working in Algonquin Park is that our days off when we weren't working, we were doing backcountry camping trips. We were going, you know, into the wilderness and kind of experiencing that as an activity. And the number of times either out in the middle of the lake as we were paddling or, you know, on a portage. And for those who don't know, a portage is basically the space between lakes where you're carrying all of your gear, including your canoe or kayak, from one lake to another. That's called the portage. Or on the portage, you would run into people and they would either sort of ask you kind of what you're doing there. You know, there's sort of the well-intended, do you need help? Do you maybe not know what you're doing? And, you know, while it seems kind of nice and kind and all the other things, it does negate your experience of, I am a knowledgeable tripper. I am a knowledgeable outdoors woman. No, I don't need your help, but I'd be curious to know if you're kind of offering the same help to other folks. And you start to sort of question your own presence and whether or not you should be there just naturally. And it's unfortunate, but it's true. Yeah. It's a very astute observation from you, Amora.
No, I just like, yeah. I've had that experience where it's like people try to, again, negate your experience and like whether you belong in a particular space because of that gatekeeping and from your own understandings and implied biases of like what they expect to be out there. So yes, I was very curious and like,
absolutely happened. Yeah. It was so real. Yeah. And I know that, you know, I'm not the only one who's experienced that because I've had these conversations on countless occasions with folks who have a little bit more experience in the outdoors and they feel that, you know, that's the same thing that would happen to them.
Okay. So, yeah, back to Caroline. Sorry.
that's Caroline. And so that's how we met. And it was wonderful to reconnect with her more recently just to say, hey, I have this idea. Do you want to jump on board? And she was all about it. Our second director was, her name is Lauren. She is also an avid outdoors woman, really, really active in kind of our social realm as well. And what took the opportunity, was so excited when we asked her to be a part of it and took the opportunity to get involved and has become a really important member of the team. And as I said, we're growing every day. We've got our friend Sienna, who's coming on board to help with operations and also event planning, because we want to have a lot of different events that are available to folks in the area and maybe even kind of outside our immediate Guelph vicinity, to start to introduce through workshops, through kind of guided trips, that kind of thing. So Sienna is on board to help us with that. And then recently we just brought on board our fifth member, I guess, including me. And that is Harjot. Harjot and I met on a winter camping trip. My first, her first. We were partnering up with our friends at Brown Girl Outdoor World, which is an organization out of Toronto run by Demisha Dennis. She's really tried, like, she's all about changing the narrative about who belongs outdoors. She's creating opportunities for women of color to get outside and to try new things. And that included Harjulat and I, who went out winter camping up in Temagami for the first time and had a blast. And Harjulat is one of those people who will try everything and anything. And so when the opportunity came up to bring her onto the team, she was on it and she was so excited about it too. And we were so excited to have her. So that is the team, and it's ever growing. And we have volunteers reaching out, or potential volunteers reaching out to us every day on kind of how can I get involved, and you know, how can I help? And I think it's just so, this is what gets me so jazzed up, because it means that we're creating more opportunities for people to see folks like us engaging in these activities and being in nature and being in leadership roles in nature too, which is really important for our younger generation. Sienna works at the Guelph Outdoor School, where a lot of youth are getting exposed to nature and nature connection. And, you know, between the two of us, we're actively trying to also kind of convince families that their kids could benefit so much from being out in nature. And it really helps to see folks like Sienna in leadership positions at organizations like Guelph Outdoor School helping to kind of make that change.
Yeah, 100%. No, I love that. Like, I heard a little bit about your team and like, you guys look like such a rad bunch, but yeah. Like, yeah, no, that's so, so dope. One thing that I was also curious about is, what are some of the challenges that have gone into starting this organization, and like, how have you worked around them, or how have you overcome them?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest challenge is that we all, the team I just mentioned, have full-time jobs. We're all very busy people with lots of commitments in our daily lives. And so this is certainly a passion project for all of us. That means that we are kind of going beyond our working day and meeting in evenings and on weekends to make this a reality, and also to kind of continue to keep it operational. So managing our time is a big challenge. I think the other thing for me too is, you know, as much as this sort of started as an idea of like, hey, I can lend stuff out to folks that might, or, you know, might be looking for camping gear, fishing gear, snowshoes, cross-country skis, what have you, but I can't do this on my own. They were all kind of funneling into my basement at one point. And yeah, and we got to a point where we're like, you know what, I think we need to make this a little bit more formal and official.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
And that meant establishing ourselves as a not-for-profit and everything that comes with that, and making sure that we're kind of doing all the checks and balances. Because as much as it would be great to say like, hey, take all of this stuff, including, you know, camping stoves and saws and, you know, PFDs for canoes and things like that, we know that people might hurt themselves. They might damage it, or mm-hmm. kind of, you know, whatever could happen when you're lending out stuff of your own. Mm-hmm. The same could happen when you're lending out things within a library. And so we wanted to make sure that we were doing it right and making sure that we are following kind of the guidelines of what it means to be a not-for-profit. And then the last challenge is, how do you sort of continue to reduce barriers for people and offer them a resource? So being a not-for-profit who's trying to not introduce any kind of membership fees or late fees or anything like that, that's going to kind of introduce yet another financial barrier, means that we're really relying on support of the community in keeping us going. So donations, fundraising efforts, applying for grants, that's sort of our next challenge that we have to tackle.
Yeah, for sure. And you currently have a fundraising opportunity right now through selling t-shirts.
Yeah.
Do you want to speak a little bit more towards that?
Sure. Yeah. So we were able to get connected through Brantford Apparel. They do a lot of these types of initiatives for charities and not-for-profit organizations who are looking to raise money, where they take a design, they put it on a t-shirt, they help you sort of get the word out so that you can sell as many as you can, and then give you a portion of those proceeds. So they kind of take a hit on their bottom line in order to help us out. And we were so thankful for that opportunity. We've got t-shirts that are on sale right now through their website say a really simple statement, but a really kind of impactful one, we think, which is adventure like you belong. We want people to feel as much as possible like they belong, given all of the barriers that we've already even talked about today. And so kind of making this statement that adventuring should be for everyone, and you should feel like you are in this place of belonging, even though it might not always be the case, kind of going out with that attitude and creating joy for yourself is really, really important. So the Adventure Like You Belong t-shirt is available for sale right now until the end of the week. And if, you know, if we get a lot of folks who are looking for it, maybe we'll extend it, maybe we'll get a few more, but it's just one of the many kind of fundraising efforts that we're looking to introduce to try to raise some money for what we've got going on.
That's amazing. No, I love it. When I saw it, I was like, ooh, let me hop on that train.
Yeah. And we've got it in all sizes, Marwa, all the way up to 4XL. So we got everyone covered. We're making sure that everyone feels like they're able to sport this t-shirt.
Ayo. Amazing. So another question that I have here is just a fun one. So what are some of your favorite outdoor activities? Like, is there anything that you haven't tried yet that you really want to?
Yeah, you know what? I had my first exposure to fly fishing 2 years ago, which is a really fun and unique way to be on the water and to kind of try a new, I guess, sport is what you would call it. I did it in Quebec. I've got a friend who does fly fishing and has ever since he was young, who introduced me to it. And this is something that a lot of folks are really starting to get into because it's a little bit more involved than maybe like standing on a dock or in a boat, just sort of casting your line and waiting for that bite. And that one is something that I would love to be able to do more of if I can. That's kind of the newest endeavor.
Fair enough. And then another random one for me, which do you prefer, setting up your campsite or taking down your campsite?
Yeah, well, what's the weather? Because that's a different thing too, because there's setting up in the rain and there's taking down in the rain. You know what? One thing I do love about camping is what it means to kind of be a part of a team. As sort of cheesy as that sounds, you start to, and while it's different, maybe if you're kind of going out for the first time, when you're with a good group of people who have good communication skills, you start to sort of get into a rhythm with, okay, we're engaging in an activity where we basically have to try to survive outdoors. What does that mean? That means we need to stay warm, so we should probably go collect wood. That means we need to stay dry, so we should probably put up a tarp and get our tent set up. That means that we need to be fed. So let's make sure that we've got all our food out. And so you start to sort of get into the rhythm of how do we kind of make this as enjoyable as possible while also learning something new and being out in nature. So I think it has to be clearly, as I've sort of started to talk, that it has to be setting up. Setting up is my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. Also, taking down means it's all over. So
that's very true.
Yeah.
No, that's so real. Honestly, yeah. Like, camping with people, it's kind of like a level of trust as well. It's I am relying on you to help me set this tent up so that we don't like experience like a torrential tornado or something. I don't know.
Oh yeah. There's so much trust in it that goes even beyond that whole kind of setup experience. Mm-hmm. When I go on camping trips, I like to be completely disconnected. I don't want to have my phone on me. My phone is on me, but on, airplane mode, only for the purposes of taking pictures, maybe. but, you know, being out in nature is also a great opportunity to connect with the people that you're with. It's a shared experience, and you get to have some really good conversations. You get to kind of experience things together. Maybe you see some wildlife that it is really just sort of fascinating or beautiful, and you have that chance to say, like, look at that. Let's talk about it. Let's connect with it.
That's real. Mm-hmm. My last rapid fire question, sunrises or sunsets?
sunrises are beautiful, but hey, me being up for a sunrise is also, it's not maybe as likely. So it's going to have to be sunsets, because at that point in the night, hopefully I've poured a glass of wine, my belly's full, and we're just enjoying ourselves. You know, at that time, I would hope the mosquitoes aren't so bad as well. But sunsets are just beautiful when you get it kind of landing just right over a landscape, wherever you find yourself. It's got to be sunsets for me.
That's so real. No, fair enough. Thank you for indulging me in my rapid fire question.
Yeah, I love that.
So you have your official Gear Library launch happening before the end of this month. Mm-hmm. Just curious, like, how is that going to work? Like, are people going to have fun? You know, that whole Arthur thing, like, having fun ain't hard when you got a library card. Is that like the situation here?
No library card necessary.
Okay, fair.
No physical library card anyway. No, it's all going to be online, digital through our website. We are working on kind of getting that functionality up and running. Our website is there. Anyone can go and kind of see it right now, bipocoutdoorgearlibrary.com. What's going to happen, similar to the Guelph Tool Library, if anyone in the Guelph area is aware or have used this resource, you get linked to a platform called MyTurn, where all of our inventory is housed. So we've got pictures and information about everything that we have available to be lent out. And it's attached to a calendar so that you can kind of say, hey, I need it for, you know, 3 days, a week, whatever the case might be. And it would then sort of turn off and say, well, this product's unavailable for the next person until it gets returned. The membership fee, as I said, is something that we'd like to be able to waive entirely. So it's free to sign up. We are encouraging this resource for BIPOC members only. That is the intention of it. Obviously, we're not going to police that in any way, shape, or form. But the intention here is to really get as many people out in nature as possible who maybe didn't have the opportunity or have faced systemic and historic barriers to having that access. But yes, in answer to your question, no library card needed. But it is acting very much like a library, a lending library. Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. And here at OPERG, we're big fans of the Guelph Tool Library. So if there's other things that you need from them, definitely hit them up as well.
They're great. We're actually partnering with them coming up. And maybe I can plug this too. They have this is their second annual, I think, Repurpose Fest, which is an event that's happening on May 28th at the Habitat for Humanity Restore. Most of the day, I think it's from 11 to 2, so kind of midday then. And it's an opportunity for people to bring in items, household items, camping gear in our case. You know, they're taking baby seats, suitcases, all sorts of stuff, things that obviously are in pretty decent shape still and could be reused by someone. And so it's an opportunity for you to kind of make that donation and for the right organization to take it and repurpose it. So we were invited by the Tool Library to be a part of that, and we're just thrilled about it because it's a great opportunity for people to maybe do some spring cleaning in their attic, in their basement, in their garage, wherever it is that they're keeping their outdoor equipment today. And perhaps they've upgraded or it's not in use anymore, and they can bring it on down to us and we'll happily add it to the inventory of items.
That's incredible. Yes, I had heard about the Repurpose Fest. And yeah, I'm super excited for that to happen and that you guys are partnering with them. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So one of the final questions, we're coming to the end here. What's next for you folks in terms of the Gear Library? Like, what directions do you hope the Gear Library will take in the future? I know you mentioned some workshops and some event planning, but
that's the ideal. You know, we are, yes, a lending library kind of at its core. That is sort of where this all started. But as I mentioned, this is also about building community. And through events and workshops, we hope to introduce people to new things. We are a part of the Two Rivers Festival this year. where we're actually having a BIPOC exclusive paddling event up the Speed in Aramosa. So as part of the kind of Two Rivers in the downtown core, hoping that people show up who maybe have never been in a canoe before, or maybe they have and they want to kind of work on some skills, or they're just interested in kind of seeing that part of Guelph, you know, by river, via river. And also, like, as I said, you know, and educational opportunities. We would want to put together workshops on maybe how to start a fire or how to put up a tent or string up a tarp, you know, things that a lot of folks who maybe were grew up with that activity take for granted in terms of a skill that someone had to show them at some point. And we'd love to be able to kind of offer that opportunity for folks as well. So lots in the works, nothing like formal other than the few that I've mentioned, but keep an eye on our social media because that's where we'll, and our website, that's where we'll likely be posting kind of all the events that we have planned for the year, not just in the summer, might I add. We want to make sure that people are getting out in all seasons. Mm-hmm. So expect things around cross-country skiing, snowshoes, and anything related to winter activities as well as the year goes on.
Hooray! For me personally, you had me at how to start a fire. Like, that just kind of ignited my inner pyro. So
ignited. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, that's well, really we'll see cool. you there.
All right. And then my final question for you is, if there's anything that people take away from this interview today, or they're just tuning in, what is the one thing that you want them to know?
Yeah, I think like anything, we want folks to kind of take a moment to think about maybe their privilege and access. And then obviously in this conversation, when it comes to outdoor and natural spaces, and why maybe it hasn't been exactly inclusive to date for everybody. And so, you know, we get some feedback, and maybe it's not always the best feedback, or saying, oh, why are you creating an exclusive space? Because you're not helping the cause, you know, it should be inclusive of everyone. And our response to that is often, well, you know, technically everything is inclusive right now. Mm-hmm. You know, things have changed, obviously, you know, that hasn't always been the case, but technically right now, everything is inclusive. And yet here we are, where we feel like we need to create some opportunity to continue to break down barriers. And mm-hmm. so that's the reason for being. And so I think the takeaway is for everyone, you know, mm-hmm. BIPOC and otherwise, to consider their level of access and maybe how else they can have conversations around creating opportunity and breaking down barriers to outdoor spaces. Mm-hmm.
No, that's so real. And I love that. Thank you so much for sharing it. Sure. Finally, where can folks find you? What's your social media?
Yeah, at BIPOC Outdoor Gear Library on Instagram. We're on Facebook as well. We link to Facebook. BIPOCOutdoorGearLibrary.com is our website, where we're hoping to have lots of educational resources, eventual blog posts, all sorts of ways to get involved and engage. Certainly reach out to us. If you have any questions, we'll have a contact us section on the website as well, but you can also email us at bipocgearlibrary@gmail.com for now. You can also make donations through that email. I'll just plug that. But yeah, lots of ways to get in touch with us and stay involved and up to date on what we've got going on. And if you also want to get involved in some way, please let us know.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, folks, you just listened to Dee and I have a conversation about, their experiences and the BIPOC Outdoor Gear Library. Thank you so much, Dee. This was so much fun.
I loved it. Thank you. Thanks for having us on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
And there you have it, folks. I hope you had as much fun listening as I did. The Gear Library is such an amazing initiative, folks. Be sure to check out their social media and their website for more information. They're looking to launch at the end of this month, so people can get out adventuring as soon as possible. And don't forget, they do have a fundraiser that's ongoing, and I think it ends on Sunday the 22nd. They are selling t-shirts. They are pretty cool. I just ordered mine not too long ago. So be sure to get yours today. Before I go, I've got a couple more announcements for you. One being the Mel Brown Festival. The Mel Brown Festival and Symposium celebrates Black heritage in Waterloo Region and focuses on the legacy of epic blues musician Mel Brown. This multi-event project includes public events happening May 27th to the 29th in Waterloo and Kitchener. The concerts and symposium are hosted by Wilfrid Laurier Center for Music in the Community. The Mel Brown Festival is a celebration of Black artists, including recent Juno winner Havaya Mighty, Joni Narita, Waterloo Region Mass Choir, etc., and conversations around systemic injustices in music programs. It will also include a keynote address by Dr. Afua Cooper, the Killam Research Chair in Black History and African Diaspora Studies at Dalhousie University. A full schedule and further information can be found at melbrownfestival.ca. There's also a really rad person by the name of Yasi who's started a new community initiative. It's called Community Food. That's F-E-W-D. That is food equity with dignity. They take high-quality food items destined for landfill and transform them into delicious offerings for the community. You can find delicious dinners at the North End Harvest Market the second and third Wednesday of each month from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Bring your own clean container and you can take it home or eat it in the park. The food is free or by donation. The North End Harvest Market is a really, really awesome place. OPERC actually just became community partners with them. So be sure to check them out if you're ever in need of food or if you're looking for volunteer opportunities too. There's always something to be done. For more information about the North End Harvest Market, you can find more information on the Guelph Neighborhood Support Coalition website. That's www.guelphneighborhoods.org. Last but not least, Radical Reads is back. For those that didn't know, OPERG does have a reading group that takes a look at shorter articles and zines related to a variety of topics. We started it back up in the new year, and we meet about once or twice a month on Saturdays, and it's been a lot of fun so far. So the next one happening is taking place on Saturday, May 28th from 1 to 2:30 p.m., and this time the topic is direct action. So for anyone who's had any interest in direct action, we're going to be reading the theory behind it, as well as a really cool article I found called The Civilian's Guide to Direct Action. So it kind of just walks you through what direct action is and how to do it safely. So I'm really hoping to have a fun discussion related to that. The reading group is open to the public, so students and community members and agitators alike can join, and I hope to see you there. Yeah, it should be a really good time. And I think that's it for me today. So before I go, I do have one more track for you. This is Peace by Alicia Brilla. Remember to take care of yourselves, folks. This is Amarawa signing off. You are listening to Radio Purg on CFRU 93.3 FM. It's been a blast. I'll see you next week.
As you walk this road of life.